Nuclear waste is piling up at power plants around the country, and we have no idea where to put it. Many states are aggressively fighting plans for new storage facilities, but Northwest Colorado is quietly opening the door. As KUNC's Scott Franz reports, a small but dedicated group there is pushing nuclear as a way to boost the economy.
The nation has never built a large-scale storage facility for nuclear waste from power plants. But by scouring government documents, PowerPoints, and videos, here's a rough idea of how it would work. Heavily fortified trucks and trains would carry the radioactive waste to a remote location in Colorado. Armed guards would follow it the entire way, and the large fuel canisters would end their journey in a fortified building far from people.
It's not The Simpsons with bubbling green fluid. It's concrete casks with eraser tip pieces of metal that are cooling down.
This is Matt Solomon, the project manager for a regional energy development initiative. He's leading the charge toward possibly bringing nuclear waste to rural Northwest Colorado. Where other states have seen health risks, Solomon sees jobs and dollar signs.
It's its own entity of staffing and workforce and engineers, welders, construction people.
Here he's talking with the Rio Blanco County Commissioners in Rangeley. It's a small town 130 miles west of Steamboat Springs near the Utah border. Solomon's mission? To demystify toxic nuclear waste, one sleepy meeting at a time. Commissioner Jennifer O'Haron has questions.
Are we talking multiple sites or just one site?
I don't know, you tell me.
Solomon ran for the state Senate as a Republican 2 years ago, but he struck out and recently took a job for the Associated Governments of Northwest Colorado. It's a group with lofty plans to possibly replace the dying coal industry with nuclear power. For most county staffers in the area, like Chrissy Nielsen, this is the first time they're hearing about the project. She's wondering about the risks.
What percentage of that radiation is around the areas of the people.
So the question is, what's the safety and the buffer needed?
Solomon doesn't always have answers. This project is a rough proposal for now, and he's not a nuclear engineer. But there's a much bigger player behind these meetings, the U.S. Department of Energy. The agency is spending $26 million around the country to spark conversations about nuclear waste, including in Colorado. A handful of other regions have taken the money too, but Solomon's work could put the area on a fast track to winning a contract for a storage facility.
If we don't look down the rabbit hole, we don't know if there's a rabbit or a snake.
In this analogy, the snake represents the risks of nuclear waste.
So let's look down the hole, and if we find a snake, we'll fill it in, and if we find a rabbit, we'll have a treat.
And he says that treat might be lucrative, equivalent to bringing in something like a Walmart headquarters. But other communities in the West have already looked down this rabbit hole, and they don't like what they've seen. For one, nuclear waste is considered extremely hazardous because it releases radioactive particles for thousands of years.
In other places, you have a lot of NIMBYism that goes on. Nobody wants it in their backyard.
Tiffany Dickinson is executive director of the Associated Governments of Northwest Colorado.
I think you find a special kind of people in Northwest Colorado, the true pioneers of the West.
Dickinson's ancestors have lived here for six generations. Her grandfather worked at a uranium mine in southwest Colorado that fueled the very first atomic bombs. That town, Uravan, has since been demolished and buried because of radioactive contamination. But that's not deterring Dickinson.
To me, it's not as scary as others might think it is.
This area has been home to energy production for a long time. There's a historical sense of pride, she says, when its residents ventured into mine shafts in search of uranium and coal.
We understand the risks, and yet our people do that. It is our children that, you know, go and find those jobs.
The U.S. is on track to triple its nuclear power capacity by 2050, but the federal government has been trying and failing since the 1980s to find a place to store the industry's waste. Right now, Texas and New Mexico are fighting storage plans. They've taken their health and safety concerns all the way to the Supreme Court. So why is Northwest Colorado interested? The region's coal mines and power plants are shutting down.
There are big fears that these towns could just shrivel up and die. And it's not something that we are willing to watch happen.
They're worried about local resistance, though. They watched recently as a separate proposal for a nuclear power plant in Pueblo drew strong opposition. These new conversations with county officials in northwest Colorado haven't been widely publicized. There's been almost no press coverage.
So we'll see how it goes. I think that we are willing to at least entertain conversations.
There are some signs that support for nuclear waste storage and maybe even nuclear power production down the road is growing in northwest Colorado. State Senator Dylan Roberts represents the region. He's on board.
They have the transmission lines and they have the workforce. And so there's no reason why we shouldn't be producing energy in northwest Colorado.
Roberts says concerns about the risks of trucking waste into his district can be overcome.
It does seem that in today's modern world, here in 2024, 2025, that there are ways to very easily secure this waste and ensure that a community's safety is protected.
Roberts isn't alone. Last year, a new caucus popped up at the legislature to promote nuclear energy. And last fall, Matt Solomon invited 15 lawmakers to a private meeting about the prospect of nuclear energy in the region.
And there were some good questions, a lot of support, and a little bit of skepticism from some, mostly about the cost of it. And so it was a really good discussion. I think the hope is to do something similar again during the legislative session and try to get a few more people involved.
In November, Solomon wrapped up his meetings with county commissioners, armed with a fresh list of questions and concerns.
That's all I've got for you guys today.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
Now his regional lobbying group is preparing to ramp up its nuclear waste conversations in the new year, with the focus eventually shifting from what elected officials think to what their constituents think.
And at that point, we'll know, hey, this region is supportive of this concept and this idea, or this region is not.
In a report Solomon filed for the Department of Energy in October, he said there was, quote, no notable fear or hesitation at the local level. He also quoted an unnamed town council member as saying they were all in. Scott Franz, KUNC.
This story has been updated to clarify that Matt Solomon is the project manager for a regional energy development initiative and to give Tiffany Dickinson's full title.
As Northwest Colorado loses coal jobs and dollars, a small group is raising the possibility of nuclear waste storage as a replacement. In the second installment of our series, Toxic Waste or Economic Fuel, KUNC's Scott Franz travels to coal country, an area west of Steamboat Springs where he finds mixed feelings about the region's economic future.
The ranching community of Hayden has been approached twice in the past by groups trying to sell them casinos to solve their financial challenges. Now residents are hearing about another big idea, importing toxic nuclear waste and creating the nation's first centralized storage site somewhere in the state's northwest corner. At this point, the project is an idea floating around political circles, but it's raising eyebrows at the Wild Goose, a cozy coffee shop in the center of town. I meet the Delaneys at a small table in the back.
Obviously a lot of concerns with transporting nuclear waste by rail.
Especially when we're in, to me, one of the more exciting discussions is commuter rail in our valley.
Especially if you're going to have passenger rail on the same lines. I mean, that's a big issue. But I guess I don't know enough about it.
Patrick and Tammy Delaney run this popular spot inside an old grain elevator, the tallest structure in Hayden. Train tracks run just outside this coffee shop. We don't know if these tracks would be used to import nuclear waste, and the facility wouldn't be in their town. Still, the Delaneys are worried.
What is the economic value of that? I have no idea.
Nobody has been able to pinpoint that number yet. Like other towns in the area, Hayden is losing lots of coal jobs. Tammy says the waste idea doesn't fit with her town's core values.
To me, it's clean air, clean water, communities that know each other, that we know how to grow and raise our own food, and we know how to process it and We know how to create amazing baked goods with.
Using federal dollars, county-level conversations about a possible nuclear storage facility were happening throughout the fall. Hayden's leaders here in Rout County haven't been at the table. They actually quit the group that's floating the idea about 4 years ago.
There is no political will in Rout County for a nuclear storage facility.
Tim Redmond represents Hayden as a county commissioner. He points to facilities like this one, the town's vibrant community center, as one of many signs the town can weather the coal transition without doing something like importing toxic waste. He says major train crashes are another reason to pass on the idea.
I mean, we see what can happen with a crude oil train. My God, what are we going to do with a nuclear waste accident?
Redmond points to new developments, like a business park going up at the regional airport, as signs Hayden is doing just fine.
If I look around at all the communities that are going through this transition, I think Hayden's doing the best.
But Hayden can afford to be more selective about its economic future than its neighbors eyeing nuclear waste. Here in Rout County, there's a strong tourism industry and diverse economy centered in Steamboat Springs. Coal jobs are responsible for less than 15% of its economic output. But over in neighboring Moffat County, that number was almost 50% when the mines started closing. So there's a real sense of urgency here, as Sasha Nelson drives me around the outskirts of a small city called Craig. We're checking out a whirlwind of projects designed to help it survive the energy transition.
We're trying to do so much so fast.
Nelson is an economic development worker in this region. She talks about new affordable housing and a commercial solar array. Our first stop, though, is a brand new boat ramp on the Yampa River.
Others may spend time tubing in lower season. Others may come and find a nice fishing hole.
Project leader Melanie Kilpatrick, who joined us at the boat ramp, says the goal here is to draw tourists.
Many, especially who are here in Moffat County, kind of want that wide open space and connection to nature.
After we hop back in Nelson's car and continue our tour, reality starts to sink in. How far will these projects really go in replacing coal revenue?
Not enough to replace the 2,800 jobs projected to have been, at risk in 2020 when closures were announced.
And that's where nuclear waste storage comes back in. Nelson has heard about it, but staring through the windshield at the vast mesas and fields of sagebrush, she says she doesn't want this region to become a dumping ground.
It would break my heart if, because of our remoteness, because of the space that we still have available, that becomes a place where any project just ends, where we're a waste disposal area.
But she understands why the talks are happening.
We need a next phase and the options for nuclear development. And those conversations are ongoing and are really critical for the what's next.
Nelson is focusing on what the region can do now, and for good reason. The federal government says even if Northwest Colorado puts in a bid for a nuclear waste storage facility, it would likely be a decade before it's built. Moffat County has hosted meetings about the idea of importing nuclear waste, and a report summarizing those meetings said there was no notable fear or hesitation to continuing them. Political action on the idea could come soon. State Senator Dylan Roberts represents Rout and Moffat counties. He's interested in a waste storage facility.
I have been a strong supporter for things like the boat ramp and the affordable housing development in Craig, which are all going to help diversify their economy and keep people in the community. But we do need to recognize that a big part of their tax base is energy development, and it should continue to be that way.
Back at the Wild Goose coffee shop in Hayden, the Delaneys say they're also intrigued by the idea of nuclear energy. But Patrick and Tammy aren't sold on what to do with the waste.
Well, most part it's safe. I mean,
only skeptic, but...
But, you know, again, then again, what do you do...
The problem of waste.
What do you do in the long run, and how do you get it here? I think we have to see it be successful in other countries before we really see it deployed in the U.S.
And if these talks continue, they say they'll need to do a lot more research before evaluating this sales pitch. Scott Franz, KUNC.
Colorado is no stranger to the long-term impacts of radioactive waste. So as communities in the rural northwest corner of the state discuss importing it, some are raising concerns. In the final episode of our series, Toxic Waste or Economic Fuel, KUNC's Scott Franz examines the risks, starting at a Superfund site in southern Colorado.
3 years ago, the Department of Energy asked for feedback on its national search for a place to temporarily store the waste piling up at power plants. The results showed many didn't trust the government to safely handle it. Like Jerry Fry, who lives in Canyon City near the remains of an old uranium mill.
We're living with an active Superfund site that hasn't been cleaned up since it was declared. And so it's more than 40 years now.
Jerry Fry grew up near this mill, which processed uranium to feed nuclear reactors. Now, Fry and her group, Colorado Citizens Against Toxic Waste, are among the hundreds weighing in on what the federal government aims to do with the waste that comes out of nuclear power plants. Today, she's taking me on a tour of the contaminated area. It's down a lonely gravel road. Kind of spooky here.
Yeah.
We come to a stop at an empty guard shack.
This fence is the restricted area, so you can't go beyond that, but there aren't any signs on it.
Behind this fence, high above us, are the remains of the Cotter uranium mill. More than 5 million tons of radioactive waste is buried up there. Fry's community is still dealing with the fallout of radioactive contamination from decades ago. The waste leached into groundwater and migrated to residential areas. And while Fry isn't from northwest Colorado, she wants communities to understand the full picture of risks, as a group in that area shops around the idea of importing nuclear waste.
These things have half-lives that are centuries, millennia long. And so a community that is not given full disclosure and full information about what they're signing on to could just get a horrible commitment.
Fry is an activist, not a nuclear scientist. So we consulted with experts on this question. How safe is the stuff coming out of reactors today?
Growing up right after major accidents like Three Mile Island, followed by Chernobyl, really sparked my interest in nuclear power, nuclear safety.
Anna Erickson is a professor of nuclear engineering at Georgia Tech University, and she leads a research consortium sponsored by the National Nuclear Security Administration.
It was done very carelessly in the past. It is not how we do things today. We have a lot better understanding of material associated with uranium fuel cycle, and we do not think that depleted uranium is harmless anymore, right?
Erickson says the scale of today's waste from power plants is more manageable than the waste from nuclear weapons and fuel production in places like Canyon City, where Jerry Fry lives.
But if you take all of the spent fuel that's been stored on site of nuclear reactors and you consolidate it all, it's size of about a football field, right? About 10 yards deep.
Today's waste, called spent fuel, is stored in large cylinders made of concrete and steel. The material inside is dangerous, Erickson says.
Once the fuel is stored in those casks, the radiation around those casks is actually not that high. Those casks are regularly inspected today by humans with those Geiger counters that you've seen or other instruments. But in the future, we're looking to move to robotics inspection.
And Erickson says the nation has not had any major accidents with spent fuel. But some scientists are worried it won't stay that way. Edwin Lyman is also a nuclear waste expert. He's the director of nuclear power safety at the Union of Concerned Scientists in Washington, D.C.
And if there's no long-term plan to transfer that spent fuel to a more durable structure that can last for geologic time, then we can have a problem.
The idea being floated in Northwest Colorado is for a facility that would temporarily house waste being created at power plants around the country. Lyman says without a plan for permanent storage, communities could get stuck with waste that must be protected for generations.
So that's the real challenge of nuclear waste disposal, is finding a way to make sure that it doesn't affect the environment over this very long time period that it will remain toxic.
Lyman also points to mishaps. In 2018, workers moving a canister of spent fuel in California made an error and almost dropped it down onto the floor of a concrete bunker. Lyman called it a near miss. He has other concerns, like transportation accidents, sabotage, and terrorism.
A deliberate attack is certainly one way where you could maximize the potential harm to the community from that facility.
Back in Canyon City, community meetings about cleaning up the old Cotter Superfund site have been happening as recently as this month. Jerry Fry has been keeping tabs.
It's been filthy and uncleaned up for 40 years. And it probably will not be cleaned up by the time I'm gone.
But Fry is also looking toward the future. That's why she regularly writes letters and comments on the nation's plans for nuclear energy. After she tuned into some of the storage discussions happening in Northwest Colorado, she was sad.
Because it's the same old game. And it's very opportunistic.
She says any community considering raising its hand should be asking lots of questions.
If, as a community, we're going to have to host this, how long is that going on? The containers that this material's in, are the containers going to last the life of the contents?
And those opportunities to ask questions will come soon. Public meetings on the waste storage idea are being planned in Northwest Colorado, and the Department of Energy says it will formally ask which communities are interested in the idea this fall. I'm Scott Franz in Canyon City.
To read and listen to our entire series, Toxic Waste or Economic Fuel, go to KUNC.org.